Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, we'll be listening to the new recording by David Crosby, his first recording in 20 years. It's called Cross. So David Crosby's album was just released on January the 26th, 2014, and I've really been enjoying listening to the music this week on this album. We'll be listening to a few songs from the album in today's program, but also, as you know, we've just lost Pete Seeger. Such an astounding career. What an amazing person. And so I've been, needless to say, reading a lot about Pete Seeger in the past couple of days. And I will be doing a special program celebrating the life and music of Pete Seeger next Saturday. But there was something in my reading that I came across that I just had to share with you. And it ties in with the music I'll be playing by David Crosby. So I'd like to read an excerpt from an article published in the New York Times by Jesse Wagman. This was published on January the 28th, and it's entitled Pete Seeger's Last Night on Stage. It was a cool night in September. The rain was coming down in sheets, and Pete was holed up in his dressing room at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in upstate New York, minutes before a surprise appearance at the annual Farm Aid benefit concert. For the occasion, he'd added a new anti-fracking verse to the end of This Land Is Your Land. It would turn out to be his last major public performance. Backstage, Pete stood by a wall, strapped to his banjo, thin and tall as a birch tree. Neil Young, one of the show's longtime headliners, had stopped in to pay his respects, and the conversation soon turned to the night, in 1976, when Phil Oakes hanged himself. On Tuesday morning, the day after Pete Seeger died, Mr. Young, that's Neil Young, told me the story that Pete had told to him. Pete had been in New York City and was late for the train home to Beacon, an hour up the Hudson River. Phil Oakes, a good friend and fellow folk singer, was in trouble. He'd been depressed and drinking for a long time, and he reached out to Pete. Phil really wanted to talk, Mr. Young recalled. Pete had chose between staying in the city another night or getting home. He chose the train. Pete remembered shaking hands with him and when he said goodbye to him for the last time, Mr. Young said. He regretted not talking to him. For 37 years, the decision to leave that night ate at Pete Seeger. I wish I'd done something more to stop that from happening, Mr. Young recalled him saying shortly before he took the stage. Pete Seeger, it's interesting the work that goes on in a person's lifetime, what you do artistically in your 20s and the things you write about and how that changes so that by the time you're in the 70s, what you're thinking about and what you're writing about reflects your age. And I've never personally known anybody who was 90 years old or older than that. Pete Seeger was 94. And so to know that at a moment as you know, his last performance, he's backstage mulling over the things that he's carrying with him. And David Crosby is now 72 years old, and on his latest album, he's dealing with a lot of issues and a lot of ideas in the same way that Pete Seeger was still dealing with his issues. David Crosby did an interview with Rolling Stone about this new album, and he said, I wanted to challenge myself. Most guys my age would have done a covers record or duets on old material. This won't be a huge hit. It'll probably sell 19 copies. I don't think the kids are going to dig it, but I'm not making it for them. I'm making it for me. I have this stuff I need to get off my chest. So I want to play a song from David Crosby's newest album. And the song is called Radio. And it's about having the chance to help somebody. You know, David Crosby has a yacht, a sailing ship that he's had for years, and that's where he goes to write his music and to restore himself. He sails around. So this song, Radio, is about being on a ship in a storm. And, you know, they have shortwave radios. And so there's a message that comes through, and the radio man runs to the wheelhouse with a message tight in his fist because there's an SOS. There's an SOS out there in the water. And someone somewhere needs this. So you need to look out and look down. Reach your hand into the water and pull someone out of the sea. David Crosby.
Just like in the movies, a message comes through all the static in his, pulling just enough words from the storm-filled sky to know that someone somewhere needs this. The radio man runs to the wheelhouse, got that message held tight in his fist, an SOS off of the wireless, saying someone
David Crosby. That song is called Radio. David Crosby, he was born on August 14th in 1941 out in Los Angeles, California. And he dropped out of college. He was going to the Santa Barbara City College as a young man. And he drops out of school to be a musician. And he moves to Greenwich Village. And while he's in the village, he meets Bob Dylan and starts working with Fred Neil. He records his very first solo session on a demo tape in 1963. David Crosby is an amazing collaborative musician. His ability to do harmony arrangements is so recognizable and so unique. In his very first band called The Byrds, you probably know The Byrds, with Jim McGuinn, Gene Clark, and Chris Hillman, they released their very first recordings Mr. Tambourine Man. They did a cover of it in 1965. It's kind of interesting. They got, before the Bob Dylan Mr. Tambourine song was released, they got a copy, an acetate copy of the song. So they rushed into the studio and they did their own version of the song. And they had a huge hit, launched their career. And it's interesting to see how David Crosby's style grows and changes over time. He's got a very recognizable voice and a very lyrical sense of time and a kind of a slow, beautiful lyric way of writing harmonies. He co-wrote a lot of the songs with The Byrds, but there's a couple of solo compositions on The Byrds album. We're going to be listening to the song called What's Happening from The Fifth Dimension by The Byrds from 1966, and that's a song he wrote by himself. And then we'll be listening in the following year from The Byrds' Younger Than Yesterday album, another David Crosby solo composition with The Byrds, Everybody's Been Burned. So let's hear David Crosby as a young man. This is called What's Happening.
has been burned before. Everybody knows the pain. Anyone in this place can tell you to your face why you shouldn't try to love someone. Everybody knows it never works. Everybody knows, and me, I know that door that shuts just before you get to the dream.
Crosby, two of his earliest recordings with the Byrds. It's interesting, the idea that music has a purpose beyond just love songs and entertainment, that came out of the folk movement that Pete Seeger was a part of. The idea that you could have an influence on the social situations and that you could make meaningful political statements was something that was embraced by so many of the rock and roll musicians in the 60s, the folk rock movement. And it's interesting because in the Byrds, there was a little bit of an internal difference going on. It seems that Jim McGuinn, who later changed his name to Roger McGuinn, and Chris Hillman, they really wanted to do folk songs. They wanted to do Wild Mountain Time. They wanted to do Hey Joe. They wanted to dig into the Americana repertoire and do folk songs. But David Crosby, he wanted to write his own music, and he wanted to make political statements. And the whole thing came to a head in 1967. You've heard of the Monterey Pop Festival in June of 1967. Well, David Crosby's playing with the Byrds, and he goes out on stage, and he starts making all these political rants, is what they called him. All these political announcements. And it really upset the other members of the bands. Anyway, the Byrds break up because of these tensions. David Crosby goes out to California, and he's visiting Cass Elliot, the Mamas and Papas singer, when he meets the other two members of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Stephen Stills and Graham Nash. And the thing that's so signature about Crosby, Stills, and Nash is the way that they sing their harmonies. And I can't help but feel, even though I'm not privy to what goes on inside of their compositions and recordings, but David Crosby had this unique ability to arrange harmonies. And it's such a signature style of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And a lot of that is due to David Crosby's abilities as an arranger. Crosby, Stills, and Nash was a lot more politically oriented than the Byrds were. And you hear that in a lot of their songs. They're still active and still touring. So it's another example of the collaborative nature that David Crosby has. He's willing to share songwriting credits with other people. And Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they're very collaborative. There's two songs from their very first album, released in 1969, that David Crosby takes the songwriting credits for by himself. So I thought it would be really good to listen to these two David Crosby tracks from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. First, we're going to be hearing Long Time Gone. And then we're going to be hearing one of the most beautiful medieval-sounding songs. That kind of has a Renaissance feel. It's called Guinevere. So here's David Crosby with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Long Time Gone.
It's been a long
to be alone, appears to be alone, appears to be alone.
Time is a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
But you know,
for the dawn.
And it appears to be my downfall. Appears to be my downfall. Appears to be a long
time. Such a long, 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 long time before the dawn.
cut my hair. It happened just the other day. It's getting kind of long. I could have said it was in my way, but I didn't, and I wonder why. I feel like letting my freak flag fly. Yes, I feel like I owe it. Because I had the flu for Christmas, and I'm not feeling up to par. It increases my paranoia. Like looking at my mirror and seeing a police car. But I'm not giving in an inch to fear, 'cause I promised myself this year I feel like I owe it together. I'm going to get down in that sunny southern weather, and I find a place inside the lab. Separate the wheat from the chaff. I feel
almost cut my hair, David Crosby's song from the Deja Vu album. That's the follow-up to the very first Crosby, Stills, and Nash album, and by this time, it's Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Neil Young joined the band only on the condition that his name would be added to the title of the band. After they finished recording that album in 1970, they pretty much split apart, and each of them started recording their own solo albums. Stephen Stills, Neil Young, and David Crosby does a beautiful solo album in February, released in February of 1971, called If I Could Only Remember My Name. And it's just really incredible to hear how Crosby's songwriting style has developed from his work with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young. And the solo album is truly astounding. It's really astounding. He pulls together all kinds of musicians that are friends of his at the time. But the favorite thing for me on this particular song that we're about to hear, called Laughing, is that you can hear Joni Mitchell singing in the harmony parts. David Crosby was incredibly important in Joni Mitchell's life. He discovered her playing at a coffee house down in Coconut Grove in Florida, and he brought her with him back to Los Angeles, introduced her to the people that allowed Joni Mitchell to have a career as a musician. He produced her first album, and he taught her about alternative guitar tunings, which became the signature of Joni Mitchell's music and songwriting. We're going to listen to that track from the David Crosby, If I Could Only Remember My Name. So this is his very first solo recordings. And the song is called Laughing, David Crosby.
I thought I met a man who said he knew a man who knew what was going on. I was mistaken.
David Crosby, If I Could Only Remember My Name. That song is called Laughing, and that was his first solo album from 1971. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So it's interesting, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, what a volatile relationship that goes on, the dynamics inside of a band like that. You know, they kept breaking up and coming back together. I just find it like a comedy of errors, but I'm sure it's hard to know what it was like inside, but here's a clue. In 1976, you know, they did a really big successful tour in 1974, and they recorded a live album. And then in 1976, they started to work on two separate albums. They split up into duos. Crosby and Nash were recording an album, and Stephen Stills and Neil Young were recording an album. So that they're talking to each other, and they're going, well, you know, maybe we could put our two duo albums together, and we could actually produce another Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young album. But it didn't work out very well because Stephen Stills and Neil Young deleted Crosby and Nash's vocals from the album. And so that just gives you some kind of inside perspective on that. So the idea of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young having a political voice, they've continued to come back together despite whatever tensions or friction might exist among them. And they've done some very successful and important tours. I saw them at Bethel Woods in 2006 when they did their Freedom of Speech tour. And they released an album from that tour, which was recorded in that summer of 2006. It wasn't released until 2008. But I just wanted to play one song on it. It's a song that David Crosby wrote called What Are Their Names? You know, who are the men that really run this land, and why do they run it with such a thoughtless hand? And you hear the crowd singing along, and it's so part of that style that Pete Seeger developed, where he would say the words to a song and ask the crowd to sing along with him. Well, Crosby, Stills, and Nash's songs are so memorable and they're so well known that that happens a lot at their concerts. So I thought it would be really fun to hear a track from that Freedom of Speech tour, the David Crosby song, What Are Their Names?
Such a thoughtless hand. What are their names? And on what streets do they live? I like to ride, ride over this afternoon and give them a piece of my mind about peace for mankind.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Peace is not an awful lot to ask. So David Crosby's newest album, it's another incredible collaboration, and it does feature a lot of three-part harmony on his newest album. But in this time, he's singing with James Raymond, who is his son and plays the piano and co-wrote a lot of the songs on the album with David Crosby. In fact, the very first song on the album is credited solely to his son, James Raymond. There's another musician on the album that is playing all of the acoustic guitar parts, a man from Idaho named Marcus Eaton. And he plays all of the acoustic parts on it. And Crosby, you know, said, you know, I really wanted to play it myself, but he plays it so much better. And also, he credits Eaton Marcus with the eerie ability to sing. He says, quote, this is what Crosby says, "Marcus has this eerie ability to sound exactly like me, right above me." So the harmony singing on the Crosby album is very important. And he gave David Crosby gave an interview with Billboard recently in January before the album was released. And he talks about writing songs with his son, James Raymond. Here's a quote. "We decided we were making a record, and God, it's been the most wonderful experience. I don't know how we pulled it off because we don't have any money. Actually, I do know how we pulled it off. My son has a studio in his garage, and I would go down and sleep there on his fold-out couch, and we would work on this record. It took us 2.5 years to do it. James brings chemistry. These songs, we worked on a lot of them, and there's probably 6 different sets of words to find a heart, and that we kept going back and forth. It's such an alive process. The communication is so good between James and I. Well, the evidence is there before you." So we're going to listen to a song that's credited to James Raymond with David Crosby's unique and recognizable voice and style. The song is called "What's Broken." And then we'll hear a song that is also credited to David Crosby and James Raymond called "Find a Heart." And this is from the new Cross album, David Crosby.
Bye. molecules go flying by. Standing here is a very lost disciple. How could it be that angel lies? Find a heart that you can speak to in the language of your own soul. In the stillness of the water, find the peace to make you whole. A passage to illumination, pulling light from the black of coal. Make it work like touching skin. Make it open so you can reach it. Make it breathe, make it sweat. Go as deep as you can get. In a whisper, in a shout, say it how you want it said to you. In a voice so free of doubt, all your victories are ringing true. Breath rising to the surface, ascending slowly into the blue. Make it work like touching skin. Make it open so you can reach it. Make it breathe, make it sweat. Go as deep as you can get. Touching skin, the eyes of a lover and the words of a friend. All the goodness that lies within is lying just around the bend. When you find this part of yours, keep it close enough to hear its cry. In the frame of an open door, see the truth and strike the light. Miles of stone to reach the core, a million answers in love's disguise. Make it work like touching skin. Make it open so you can reach it. Make it breathe, make it sweat. Go as deep as you can get.
I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. Today's program featured the newest recording by David Crosby. I hope you enjoy the music, and thank you so much for listening. Support for Now and Then comes from the community and from the Cooperage, 1030 Main Street, Honesdale. Be entertained, be challenged, be inspired. TheCooperageProject.org. This is 90.5 FM, WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and W233AH, Monticello, New York, award-winning community radio with studios in Jeffersonville, New York, and Homesdale, Pennsylvania. We are having an open house here at our studios, WJFF.